The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Did Jesus give the woman at the well the right saving message? Sounds like a loaded question, but we're going to take care of it on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Luke's Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and I want to welcome you to today's episode, one in which we are taking questions from listeners just like you. We get questions from listeners all over the place, and we want to hear from you. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, there's a bunch of questions here on my desk, and lots and lots and lots of, I don't know how many are there, maybe 100. But I'd like to hear from you. I don't know, have you ever called into a show? Well, you can't call into our show, because this is not live, but you can definitely write into the show.
And it's going to seem like it's live to me.
And it's going to seem like it's live to Bob, and it's kind of live to me, too, because I read the questions basically a minute before asking them to Bob. And so we're both surprised.
and this is by Sean's design. He throws these out to make it more spontaneous.
We're trying to imitate, like you say, a spontaneous show. Here's this. Is it a simple question or not? I'm not sure. It's a question from Rusty, and Rusty says, thanks for the blog on the woman at the well. That's from July 21st. If you're not reading our blog, I really encourage you to do that. It's we publish it in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and now Filipino. Now, English is 5 days a week, but those other, the translations are usually more just twice a week or something. We can't afford to make them all full-time,
right,
5 days a week. But we're getting there, and we're growing thanks to you guys. But you should definitely sign up for our blog. If you want something that's just going to spark biblical imagination, raise questions, or answer questions for you from God's Word, you want to sign up for that blog at faithalone.org. But Rusty says, thanks for your blog on the woman at the well. I have a question about one part of it. Did Jesus give the woman at the well the right saving message? Now, that's an interesting question because, you know, we raise up Jesus as the ideal evangelist. We should be evangelizing the way Jesus evangelized. So what do you think? Rusty says, but did Jesus give her the right saving message?
Well, that's a bit like saying, how many errors are there in the teachings of Jesus? There are none. So the only way that he could have given her the wrong saving message is if we believe that what John wrote has not been faithfully transmitted, and so what we have is inaccurate.
Well,
and I don't agree with that either.
Well, I don't know if it, maybe he doesn't mean, was it like the wrong saving message? Maybe he means, is it clear? Is it a clear evangelistic message?
I love his question. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. And I think he's asking that question in order to deal with those who, I think he agrees with what I wrote, and I think he agrees with us. There are people who say, in fact, one of our former board members wrote an article in our journal, and he argued that the Gospel of John gave an evangelistic message for a previous age.
Yeah.
That dispensationally, it was changed when the epistles were added, especially Paul's writings.
Right.
And so he said we have to supplement John's Gospel with verses from the epistles. In other words, he wanted to argue that we can't be born again the way the woman at the well was born again, which, according to this account,
yeah,
unless John's leaving something out, the Lord said nothing about his coming death and resurrection.
Well, he also said nothing about believing. And I think maybe that's the problem here. He doesn't say anything about believing. He uses this kind of vague image,
okay,
of taking
now,
a drink.
Now, that I can drive.
Okay.
But let me say this. Before the cross, people had the advantage of being in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
They could see him do miracles.
Right.
Now, the woman at the well, he tells her that she's had five husbands, and
right,
the one she's living with is not her husband.
So there's kind of a word of knowledge or something there.
He is definitely, and she says when she goes to the village later, could this be the Messiah? He told me all things about myself.
Yeah.
Now, this is before the day of Facebook. Jesus isn't looking this up on the internet.
Right.
Jesus knows this because he's tapping into his divine omniscience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he talk to her about belief? He absolutely does, but it's in figurative language.
Right.
He talks to her about drinking living water.
Yeah.
And never being thirsty again. I gave a message on this last Sunday at our Lord's Supper meeting at my church, John 4:10. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Well, I saw a message that Bob Bryan had given on this passage, and he said you've got two things here, the gift and the giver.
Yeah.
And he says the gift of God is explained in verse 14. It's everlasting life.
Oh, so it's not the living water.
No, the living water is what springs up into everlasting life.
Uh-huh.
And the giver is explained in verses 25 and 26, where she says, we know that Messiah is coming, and he says, I who speak to you am he. So, putting everything from 4:10 to 4:26 together, he's saying, if you believe that I am the Messiah who gives everlasting life to all who simply believe in me,
yeah.
Well, then you've drunk the living water.
Now, how would she know that belief is the condition as opposed to something else?
All right. Well, the way she would know it is because she comes to realize in verse 15, she says, give me this water so I don't have to come here and draw anymore and I'll never be thirsty again.
Yeah.
And he goes on to talk about spiritual things and she grasps it. But one of the ways we know it is because of what happens after she leaves. After she leaves, in verse 29, come see a man who has told me all things. Could this be the Christ?
Yeah.
She's trying to lead them to believe that he is the Messiah.
Well, it sounds like she's not sure herself.
No. The reason it's asked this way, Zane Hodges argues, and I agree with him, and I put this in my commentary, is that she does know he's Messiah. She mm-hmm. does believe it. But the reason she says it this way is because she has a low reputation.
Okay.
And so she says it this way in order to elicit interest. And by the way, notice what happens. It goes on, she talks to them, then they go out and they hear Jesus. And it says in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. It doesn't say many in that city drank the living water. It
right.
takes the figure of speech away. And they say, in verse 42, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, this is the only use of the word Savior, soter, in the Gospel of John.
Interesting.
And it's not on the lips of Jesus, and it's not on the lips of the disciples, it's on right. the lips of Samaritans.
Right.
But also look at John 6:35 for a minute, because you raise a good point. How do we know that drinking the living water is believing? Well, in John 6:35, after Jesus feeds the 5,000, he's giving this bread of life discourse.
Yeah.
Could you read verse 35?
6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Well, notice it says he who believes in me shall never thirst.
Right.
But in John, it was drinking will never thirst.
Right.
So clearly, John 6:35 is saying that drinking the living water is believing in him.
So somehow you can pull these verses together and try to make sense of what Jesus said in John 4. And if you pull it together, then it seems like he was implying to believe.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I had someone recently that raised the objection that talking about everlasting life confuses people. One of the things I pointed out is that's not a bad thing. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he thought he literally had to be born a second time and somehow get back in his mother's womb and be born a second time.
For some reason, that seems to be a pattern in John, right?
Right, and the same thing in John 4. She says, like, okay, give me this water so I don't have to come here and draw. Or
John 6, okay, what do you mean? We have to eat your literal flesh?
Right, exactly. Jesus often would confuse people on purpose because eventually, if they were open, they would get it.
Mm-hmm.
The woman got it. Nicodemus got it. His disciples, of course, got it. But in answer to Rusty's question, no, Jesus didn't give her the wrong saving message. And obviously, Rusty doesn't think he did. The point is, he gave her the right message, and that same message is the message of Revelation 22:17. He wishes, let him take the water of life freely. That's John chapter 4, right? You also have the same basic message in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What did John 4:10 say? If you knew the gift of God.
Yeah.
Well, Paul talks about the gift of God in Ephesians 2:8, and he explains in Ephesians 2:5, God made you alive. It's the new birth. And so what he's saying is everlasting life is the gift of God. Now, You're right. Do we have to know other verses in order to pull all this together? Yes.
I mean, if I went up in front of an audience and I said, all you need to do to have the gift is to drink, you're never going to be thirsty ever again, and you're going to have living water. To me, that's not a clear evangelistic message.
But if you said you
really need all this other context.
My point would be, if you do that, you've given a much clearer message than the person who says, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again, and if you believe in him, you'll have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Nothing about it being everlasting relationship, or you'll be saved, at least for now.
Right.
That's not clear.
Oh, that's interesting.
You need to make it clear that you have an everlasting relationship, that you have everlasting life, that you have a salvation that is secure. If you just say this other, you're confusing people. Frankly, I think that'd be a neat way to do it. Preach a message like that, leave people wondering, and then say, we got another message coming up in the next hour, and we'll talk about this more, and then clarify.
I guess.
Wouldn't it be good for people to walk away and think, I wonder what that means?
Well, couldn't you say that about the evangelistic message you don't like? What does it mean that he's the Savior? What does it mean he died on the cross?
To me, that's not a message I don't like. The message I don't like is they're leaving out the gift of God. You can't leave out the gift of God.
Okay.
They got the giver in there. But they don't have the gift.
Or it's an unclear gift.
It's an unclear gift.
Well, but even in John 4, he's the Savior of the world. What does that mean?
It's interesting. This is the only expression, Savior of the world, in John's gospel.
Right.
So it's difficult. But I would say, based on what we've seen thus far, Savior of the world means he gives everlasting life to anyone in the world who believes in him. Essentially, it's the message of John 3:16.
He gives the gift.
Whoever believes in him, he gives the gift.
Right.
So he's both the giver. And in a sense, he's the gift, because he's called everlasting life in Scripture. But this is good stuff. I'm glad Rusty brought it up. And Sean, you've
thanks for letting me play thanks for letting me play, prosecution?
Yeah, you're the DA.
Yeah, the DA. Thanks for letting me play the
devil's
DA.
Advocate.
Well, Rusty, have we confused you? Do you need clarification? You know where to send your questions to, radio@faithalone.org.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about John 3:16 and assurance. So, join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.